Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good afternoon. I've got just 10 minutes to run through some of the things that we're doing in Greenwich, which I think is relevant and hopefully you'll find interesting. And specifically, I'm going to be talking about Greenwich Peninsula. At Greenwich Peninsula, we're seeking to create a digital district. And I think a key underlying theme of what our talk is really our vision, which is ambitious, a clear vision, and also the work we're doing in partnership with higher education, with technology companies, with skills providers, landowners and developers. For us, it is very much a new approach. And when we started on this journey, we were thinking very much about the economy and creating a digital business district. Somebody said at a conference that I was talking about fairly recently that the whole smart city thing, is it a branding exercise or is there more to it? And I think probably when we started out, we probably were guilty of thinking it was a branding exercise and an opportunity to establish a niche for ourselves. But I think very quickly we moved on and realised that we were doing a lot more than trying to create a digital business district, valuable though that would be. But we were also trying to create a digital neighbourhood, a digital community and a digital council. So those things are actually quite challenging and certainly very ambitious, and they're not five-minute solutions. Greenwich Peninsula, for those that are not London-centric, is in London, part of the Royal Borough of Greenwich. It's 200 acres of land, formerly Europe's largest gasworks. It's by the O2, which in a few days' time will transform into the North Greenwich Arena and be one of the venues for the Olympic Games, and is just across the water from London's financial district to Canary Wharf, and sits very much in the heart of the Greenwich Riverfront and London's future growth from and in East London. The master plan for the peninsula was agreed in 2006. It followed the Millennium Experience and the building of the Millennium Dome. And it's, in many respects, for those that are familiar with master plans, you would see it as fairly conventional. 3.5 million square feet of commercial floor space, further 3 million square feet of retail and leisure floor space, and 10,000 new homes, creating a community of 25,000 residents and a work community of about 25,000 workers, and in total an M value of about £5 billion, so pretty significant. But one of the questions that was really unanswered back in 2006 was really, well, what would be the economic function of this part of the capital? And nobody really had an answer at that time. People could define what it wasn't. It wasn't going to be an alternative to Canary Wharf. There was some feeling that it would offer back office services to Canary Wharf, which wasn't the most exciting prospect for the local authority. And we were really concerned that we had created something special. And at that time, we were working very closely with Ravensbourne College, who were at that time based outside the borough, to relocate them to the peninsula. And we'll hear from Ravensbourne in a while, and you'll get a sense of why that was so important to us at the time and has become increasingly important to us since. But we really did feel that Ravensbourne could actually become the peg in the ground from which we could build, that it actually would be a magnet, particularly to the creative and digital sector, and that many businesses would wish to cluster around it. And I think all that we've subsequently achieved and our ambition actually stems from the fact that Ravensbourne has come to the peninsula. We currently, there's a number of facets to the digital peninsula, and a lot of this is developed with Ravensbourne. And we aim to attract as many people and to raise the profile of the peninsula within the digital world. And as you'll probably hear from Chris later on, we've had a considerable success in actually winning hearts and minds in terms of the potential to create a digital district in London. So some of the elements that we have in place, Ravensbourne, which brings with it an incubator, which currently has over 100 businesses within it. The local authority also invested in taking two floors of a building which is adjacent to Ravensbourne College. Very expensive floor space. We've taken the top two floors and are about to take another floor of the building to really capitalise on the opportunities to attract businesses and to provide a base for technology companies to work. We're currently working with Cisco, Living Planet, the landowners and higher education Ravensbourne, but also the School of Computing and Mathematical Sciences at Greenwich. And within the Digital Enterprise Centre, we've created the first NVI, which is a National Virtual Incubator, which is a Cisco national network, which will be rolled out in the coming months and years, and also an innovation centre, which is currently testing sensor technology. And we're also become an exemplar for Cisco in terms of their smart and connected communities. Now, this is a good question, because is that a branding exercise? Because all of the major technology companies are looking at something, a smart city. Cisco happened to brand their smart and connected communities. And there's 10 exemplars across the globe. But this is the first time that they've chosen as an exemplar part of an existing city in the UK. And we're trying to use that opportunity to actually create a new environment, a new business district and a new community. So as I said at the outset, we started off with a vision that we actually just wanted to attract companies and digital seemed like a good space to be in. But we realised that the implications of that had to be far wider. It wasn't enough merely to put up a big banner and saying, you know, we're the home of digital businesses. We actually had to live and breathe it. And actually what happened in our community was terribly important and actually in itself generated new opportunities for digital entrepreneurs. So we don't want people to come into an innovation lab in a nice office block and then leave and then go into a conventional environment. We want the homes on the peninsula to actually be technologically enabled. We want the retail space to be technologically enabled, the public domain to be technologically enabled. And we wish to create an environment for entrepreneurs to come in and develop. And one of the holy grails at the moment amongst technology companies is to provide some form of integration layer so that all the technology that exists out there, and particularly sensing technology, can talk to each other. So you don't need different systems, that they can all be combined and that you can use that data to develop new applications. So it's really taking the concept of the iPhone and apps and applying it to the urban environment. And I think a key question for me, I also wanted to talk about the council, because I think what we realised fairly early on in this journey was that actually we could do a number of things to stimulate the economy, the digital economy. But one of the things that we mustn't overlook was the role that we had as a procurer of services, but also as a deliverer of services. And at this time of severe pressures on public spending, it's clearly a smart thing to do to look at how technology can help you deliver services in a different way. I would say not only in a more efficient way, but also in a more effective way. That has implications for your community having access and the skills. And part of the work we're doing, which Chris will talk about, is ensuring that residents and the local community and the schools are all part of this and that we're actually upskilling people. So this has to work for the whole community. And not just the peninsula community, it sits within the Royal Borough of Greenwich. And we have to ensure that people living in Woolwich and Plumstead and Eltham also benefit from the investment that's being made here on the peninsula. We're seeking to create an ecosystem, which actually is linked to this whole idea of actually what is a smart city. And I mean, I think quite simply to answer my own question, a smart city is a city that I and you would wish to live in, not somewhere that we just end up, but actually somewhere where technology is improving the quality of our lives. A smart city is one which works, one which is beautiful, one which is creative, dynamic, and is flexible and can evolve. I don't particularly want to live in a city which is designed by a technology company, But I can see the potential for technology to really improve the way we live as citizens in our cities. So I apologise for a very brief run through of actually what is quite a complex project. You can follow us on Twitter, appropriately enough, and you can also email me, and I'd be happy to provide more information.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from PolicyReview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.